Take your Bible and go to the Gospel of Luke tonight, please. Chapter 2. You know, when you study numbers in the Scripture, which is one phase of working the accuracy of God's Word, you will find that the number 7 stands for perfection. And the number 8 stands for a new beginning. And this is the year that has passed. It was 77, which I considered a double perfection of the integrity and working the greatness of God's Word. And the year 78, I would like to think in terms of the perfection of God's Word and the new beginning of God's Word. Because whenever this Word of God is held forth and people are born again of God's Spirit, filled with the power from on high, changed their life, for them it's a new beginning. And the year 78 should be a new beginning for a lot of people around the world, as we faithfully stand upon the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. There's a wonderful record in this second chapter of Luke that I'd like to share with you tonight, beginning with the 21st verse of that chapter. And when 8 days were accomplished, were finished, 8 days, for the circumcising of the child, that's Jesus, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This time of circumcising in verse 21 is when the child was officially named. And according to Oriental custom and culture, it was always the father who named the child. And it was he who said, well, his name's going to be John the Baptist, for instance. It was Joseph who said, his name shall be Jesus. And the sign of the covenant that the child was named was circumcision. And circumcision indicated the shedding of blood, which biblically indicated figurative death. And that's why they figuratively died, so that they might live with the greatness of the power of God. Jesus, the word Jesus means Savior. It's the same word as in the Old Testament for Joshua. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, was named of the angel even before he was conceived in the womb. Now, conception is not in the womb. The critics, the unbelievers, take a crack at the Bible. They always take a crack at the Bible when they're stupid. It says in Hebrews that the Bible takes a crack at the critic. No critic ever criticizes the Word. The Word criticizes every critic. See? The womb is a figure of speech, which represents the whole process of conception. You know, God made the fallopian tubes, and he knows how the body operates. So, naturally, the birth, the conception of Jesus Christ was by the ovum being met by the sperm in the fallopian tubes and then passing on up and attaching itself in the womb. We know that from the accuracy of the Word. So, the womb is just a figure of speech for the whole process of conception and birth. Verse 22. And when the days of her purification, the word her is the word there in the Aramaic text, and that's what it ought to be. It's not only her purification, but his also, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, ended, or fulfilled. They brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Parentheses, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb, means every male that's born like that, shall be called holy to the Lord. And in order to present him to the Lord, verse 22, they offered a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that record you'll find in Leviticus chapter 12 in the Old Testament, if you care to read it there. And behold, There was a man in Jerusalem. There was a what? Doesn't say priest. Doesn't say a religious leader. Just a man. Just like you're a man. Just a man. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. The word just is waiting or wanting to obey the law. He was a man who wanted to do the will of God. Wanting to obey the law is wanting to do the word. And the word devout is the word godly reverence. Godly reverence. Simeon was wanting to obey the law with godly reverence, respect, awe, admiration for God and His Word. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is like waiting for the Comforter. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort to come to Israel. That which would console Israel. This man then was not waiting to start the church of the body to which you and I belong. He was waiting for, what does it say? The consolation of Israel, or to Israel. This becomes very important in this text that we're reading. The whole body of the text of the word. It'll come up again. I'm going to show you some tremendous things from this word tonight. And Pneuma Hagion, the Holy Spirit, says Holy Ghost in the text here. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It cannot be a capital H and a capital S. It wasn't God. It was God's gift. God's gift that was upon him. Like the Old Testament, when God put his spirit upon Moses. Moses laid his hands upon other people and God's spirit came on them. This is the gift. You see, he was a just man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He loved God. He knew whom God was. God was spirit. He knew the true God, worshiped the true God. So it wasn't that God came upon him. It was that the gift was there. God is spirit, and when you have God's gift as spirit, then you've got a connection. God can walk with you. God can talk with you. That's why verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him, unto Simeon. It was revealed. Revealed. Then he did not get it with tongues and interpretation. He didn't get it that way, because you don't get revelation with tongues and interpretation. Tongues and interpretation are for the edification of the body of Christ, the building up. For edification, exhortation, and comfort. Didn't get it by prophecy. If it came by revelation, it had to come by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits, because those are the only three revelation manifestations. And because it's Old Testament, the Spirit of God was upon this man, he could not speak in tongues because it was not what? Available. And if he couldn't speak in tongues, he couldn't interpret, because you don't need any interpretation when you don't have any speaking in tongues. It's really something. We have people in the way ministry until they learn God's word better. Who have been teaching that they got revelation by sitting around speaking in tongues and interpreting in a body of believers. Well, if you want to go off the deep end, just keep doing it. Contrary to God's word. You don't get revelation. If you get revelation by tongues and interpretation, then why would God have the revelation manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits? Wouldn't be any use in having them. Now it says here it was revealed to him. It was revealed unto Simeon, revealed God's revelation by Pneuma Hagion, by the gift. which was upon him God, but by God revealed to that gift which was upon Simeon. And this was the revelation. By the way, this Pneuma Hagion in verse 26 is God. It was revealed unto Simeon by God, who is Holy Spirit, who revealed it to his gift, which was upon Simeon, which is Holy Spirit. People, this thing is so simple that most people miss it a lifetime. It's like you could have that electrical plug over there that I can see. Now, the only way, that's the power source. If I want to get lit up, I have to have something to plug in it. That would be like the gift. If I had an extension cord here and a bulb in it, we'd show you how it worked. I'd get you to plug it in. And when he'd plug it in, if the bulb's good and the contact, you know, the wire isn't broken, we're going to get some light. God is Holy Spirit. His gift is also Holy Spirit. And it was revealed unto this man to that gift which God had upon him. It was revealed by God that he should not see death. He would not see it before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Lord's Messiah. Quite a revelation, isn't it? But I read in the New Testament also about Peter. Wasn't it Peter who unto whom it was shown that he should shortly have to, Paul, I think, one of those fellows, shortly have to put off this tabernacle. Was that Peter or Paul? I think it was Peter. It was revealed to him that he would shortly put off this tabernacle, which means that he wasn't going to live too much longer. Here it was revealed to Simeon that he would not die. He wouldn't see death until after he had seen the Lord's Christ. Quite a revelation. And verse 27 says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit. And to come by the Spirit is to come by revelation. God told him, people, is what that verse says. God told him, you know, right after breakfast one morning, God said, Simeon, go to the temple. God told him. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him. Then Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. The word blessed is the word in English. It's transliterated into the word eulogy. Eulogize God. A eulogy. Eugalia is the Greek text. Took him up in his arms and he blessed God. Praised God. Thanked God. And said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Because he saw Jesus Christ, God's gift. It's real interesting that the bulletin board downtown New Knoxville reads, Happy Birthday, God. Real interesting to me. So, I wonder when God was conceived and when he was born and this kind of thing. Vince Finnegan said we have to ask his mother. Quite a record in here of this man. Now, if this had been a priest, you know, I wouldn't have blown my mind. Maybe it would have blown it worse. I don't know. But this was not a really great priest or a prophet. It was just a man. But a man who loved God. A man who was wanting to do. Look how wonderful God is. And certainly he doesn't do less for us today than he did for his servants of old, because he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. We are not servants of God. We are sons of us. We're servants to our fellow men. This man was a servant of God this way and a servant this way. We are sons of God this way and servant this way on a horizontal level. He took him up in his arms and blessed him, blessed God. And this, of course, is still the custom in some of the churches, the Roman Church and the Anglican Episcopal. At the time of the dedication of a child, the priest will take the child in his arms. They go back to this verse of Scripture. Well, their privilege won't make God much difference. But this is what this man did, and that, of course, was the culture. That was what he did. And you can see there are things he must have done that are not written in the Word. Action he took. You know, he just didn't run over and grab the baby. You just don't do those things. But these things are written in here to give us an understanding of God and the way in which he works with his people. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, and the word salvation is wholeness, which thou, God, hast prepared before the face of all people. Watch verse 32 carefully. A light to lighten the Gentiles. A light that would lighten, would bless, the light would be so that the Gentiles would be blessed. It was only a light to lighten the Gentiles, but it was for the glory of thy people, what? Israel. This is much like your life is today. In any community where you are, if you are living right on for God and not messing and screwing around, in other words, if you're walking in alignment and harmony with God, honey, and you are walking the Word, you are the light of that community. And the community will be blessed because you are there. It'll always be blessed. Like the Gentiles were blessed with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because wherever Christ was, wherever that Word was held forth by Him, it was a light that would lighten the Gentiles. And to this day, it's still that light. And when Christ is living within you, you become the light in that community. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of that community. Because it's Christ in you. Jesus Christ here came as a light to lighten the Gentiles, but he came as the glory of the people of Israel. Jesus Christ never came to start the church of the body to which you and I belong. Because the church of the body, according to the Word, is made up of the called out of both Jew and Gentile, wherein he makes himself a new creation, new creatures that are neither Jew nor Gentile, but a new creation. This ministry that Jesus Christ came to fulfill was for the glory of God's people known as Israel. If you look at, keep your finger here and look at Romans 15, verse 8. I teach you this in the foundational class, remember? Now I say, 15:8, Jesus Christ was a minister of or to the what? Circumcision. And I told you that circumcision was a sign of the covenant. The Israel people of circumcision of the covenant. Israel were people of the covenant, people of circumcision. And Jesus Christ was the minister of or to the circumcision, which would be to Israel. for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The fathers of who? Israel. Promises made to Israel. People, it's a very simple word of God. If we'll just believe what's written and keep it in its context. Jesus Christ never came to start the church to which you and I belong. He came as God's messenger to Israel, to the circumcision. Had Israel accepted their Messiah, you and I would not be a part of the body of the church. But God in his foreknowledge knew that Israel would reject the Messiah. He knew that they would crucify him. Therefore, God kept something spiritually up his sleeve, which nobody knew. Nobody knew. It says it's kept secret, hidden in God from before the foundation of the world, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Sir, had Jesus Christ been God, he would have known that. Because God knows everything, beginning as well as the end, the word says. Jesus Christ did not know it because he was God's son and God never told him. Just like every earthly father doesn't tell his son everything. So God as a heavenly father never told anybody until after it was all over with, the ascension, all of that over with. Day of Pentecost, they plugged in, but they couldn't explain it. One day, God told Paul what he had really done, and Paul wrote it. And that's why that was the first time it was ever revealed. This is a wonderful record of enlightenment and teaching and understanding here. He's the glory of the people of what? Israel. You see, the teaching that Jesus Christ was God and that Jesus Christ started the church to which we belong is totally a fallacy, totally an error. And when you teach that, you can't get the word to fit because the word doesn't say what you're saying. Keep your finger in Luke, and I'll show you another one. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 24. You ought to mark these in your mind and your Bible, maybe. But he answered, Jesus answered, 15 of Matthew, verse 24, everybody's eyes in the Word. But he, Jesus, answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of what? There it is again. Jesus came to the circumcision, to Israel. And he ministered to the lost sheep. Sheep have a shepherd. You and I are not sheep. We are sons of God with in the body of which Christ is the head. Sheep have a shepherd. You and I are not sheep. We have no shepherd. We have a head. And the head of that body is Christ. That's why, you know, never in prophecy or tongues with interpretation do you ever hear, I am your good shepherd. I take good care of you. No. We're not sheep. We're sons of God. Belonging to the body of the church of which Christ is the head. And we're members in particular. Like in a physical body, this is my head that controls all my body. So Christ is the head of the body of the church, and every person is a particular, unique, wonderful member in that body. And all that member needs to do is carry out his function. This thumb may be good to hitchhike with, I don't know. But this thumb is absolutely no good as a little finger. Because the little finger is the little finger, the thumb's the thumb, and each one fits in that body just perfectly. If that whole hand was little fingers, we'd have a lot of problems. Not little problems, big problems. If they were all thumbs, we'd have more problems, maybe. But you see how simple the word is and how great, magnificently true it is? He was a minister to the circumcision. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he sent out the 12 apostles, he sent them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he even said, don't you go into the ways of the Gentiles. When he sent out the 70, he sent those. You see, God did his uttermost. Lordy, he just did everything he could for Israel to get Israel redeemed. But Israel didn't want to get redeemed. And God does not overstep the free will of man. He does not possess, he does not control. And so instead of Israel receiving their Messiah as a nation, there were sporadic individuals who did, and they became part of the bride of Christ, of which he is the bridegroom, which is the church of the gospel. The called out of Israel made up the church of the gospel. He was their bridegroom. The church was his bride. He is not our bridegroom. He is our head of the body of the church. That's the different usage of that word church in the gospels and in the church epistles. And the reason this could come to pass is because of a day called Pentecost in the Bible, when for the first time in all the history of the world, God sent that gift, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the fullness of the Spirit of God, which makes it possible for every believer to operate 9 manifestations of the Spirit. And he is the head of that body, the church. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Sure, where does it say it? Book of Psalms. Sure. The Lord is more than our shepherd. He is the head of the body. Now, as a good shepherd would take care of his sheep, so certainly the Lord's going to take care of his children. Well, verse 33 says, and Joseph and his mother, the mother of Jesus Christ, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Marveled at the things which were spoken of Jesus Christ. They marveled because this man upon whom the Spirit was said certain things, and what he said cause them to marvel, and the word of marvel is amazed. And Simeon blessed them. He blessed them, Joseph and Mary. He blessed them. Even like this afternoon when I dedicated the children that the parents brought, I said to the parents, sure, I know that my blessing upon your child has a value, but the greater blessing will be as the parents continue to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Simeon could bless the parents, could bless the children or the child, but the greater thing is that this child was raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Joseph and Mary taught him the word. They read to him the word. He went to learn the word. Then Simon said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign. The child is set for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce. The word sword is dagger. Shall pierce through thine own soul also. It's a figure. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I spent a considerable amount of time in the Word at one time, working the latter part of this verse, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And it comes out of the heart of Mary in the Gospels. The sword shall pierce through thine own soul. This is a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And when you work the Word to see what Mary did, how she stood, even at the time of the crucifixion, you see the heart that opened up, and the thoughts of that heart were revealed that blessed other women and men. And there was one Anna. That's the end of Simeon. Verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess. You see, the Spirit was upon this man. He was not a prophet. And yet, he gave great prophecy, which is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, got it by revelation, discerning his spirit, because of verse 34 and 35. He not only blessed them, blessed God, and said in verse 28 and following, but in 34, revelation given. And he was not a prophet. Anna, on the other hand, was a prophetess. She was of the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of well advanced in years, of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. But she was a widow of about 84. Score is 20 years. Is that right? 4 would make her 84. She was a widow. Quite an elderly lady. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She was a woman who had dedicated her life to helping in the temple, and she was a prophetess. And that's where she stayed, that's where she ministered. And she coming in that instant, isn't it wonderful how God gets all of his Longines and Venerises all lined up, and his railroad watches, gets them all in there on time? Simeon came to the temple by revelation, right? Here's a woman, Anna, who lived in the temple all the time, but how did she just know that this was that one person? God told her. Came in that instant. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him, of Jesus, to all them who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Who looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, is omitted in the Greek, but it is in the Estringilo Aramaic text, and I think it ought to be in. He waxed strong spiritually, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Between verse 38 and verse 39, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. I tonight believe that in verse 39 we have the years that they spent in Egypt. Because the angel told them to flee into Egypt, and they stayed there until the death of the king. Then later on they returned from Egypt, and I think they came back to the Bethlehem area, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, that law of the Lord includes the revelation that was given to them to flee into Egypt, they came back to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem and Jerusalem area, and then after that they returned to their own city of Nazareth, and that's where the child grew and waxed strong spiritually. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Had he been God, there would have not had needed to have the grace of God upon him. And he would not needed to have been filled with wisdom. He would have had all wisdom. Now, we have made a very comprehensive study of the Star of Bethlehem. And I believe by next year, perhaps, we'll have it in writing for our people, documenting it from every angle. And then we'll bring this scripture also in that teaching because of the years they had to spend in Egypt. And this, of course, becomes very vital and very important. And verse 41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. This is after Christ was born, after they'd been there on the eighth day, the 41st day. Then when they escaped into Egypt, 2 years later came back. After all that was done, which is fulfilling the law of the Lord, they go back into Galilee, to Nazareth. And then every year, his parents went to Jerusalem at the time of the feast of the Passover. Well, this puts a little of this word together for you on this New Year's Sunday of 78. That's the perfection of the greatness of the word, which will bring a new beginning in the life of any man or woman who believes it. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of opening the word to your people tonight. Thank you for your love, your mercy and grace and goodness. And thank you for your blessing upon each and every one of our people. And thank you for giving us an understanding of your word. And we just humbly and with all thanksgiving in our hearts, Father, thank you for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.